Windscape, Chapter 2, The Pyre. "Is it a cross?" thought Jenny. No, it's a windmill. A dummy mock-up version of one of the big white turbines that would be built on their farm. Two rough-looking men were digging it into the wet sand. The rest of the mob piled wood and cardboard boxes around the white pole that formed the main support. Three white wicker paddles jutted out at awkward angles to form the blades. Jenny felt her heart thumping against her chest. The whole scene looked unreal, like some weird dream. "Why would they build that thing right there on our beach?" she thought. Her father was running full pelt across the sand, Lord stupidly snapping at his heels instead of barking at the strangers.
"Stop there, Hamish," shouted a man with a scraggy beard.
Jenny realised that it was Mr. Belfield, the church factor. She hadn't recognised him at first. Jenny skittered down over the last few yards of the dune before thudding into a rigid tuft of grass at its base. Ugh! Winded, she knelt up and dusted herself down. She heard Mr. Belfield yell at her father again.
"Hamish, I'm warning you. Keep back."
Undeterred, her father sprinted through the mob and leapt on top of Belfield, yanking him down onto the wet sand by the hood of his coat. Fuel spilled from the open canister as it toppled onto the sand. Jenny watched her father step away from Belfield. He turned to face the rest of the crowd. They circled him like a pack of hungry animals. As her father picked up Belfield's shovel, two of the bigger men moved forward. Lord growled and snapped at them.
"Leave him alone!"
screamed Jenny, but the crashing waves and harsh wind smothered her thin voice. The woman with the pram spotted her first. She tugged on the sleeve of a big man standing next to her and pointed at Jenny. They began to walk towards her, but soon stopped when her father swung the shovel in warning.
"Just hold it there, missus."
Her father stabbed the shovel into the wet sand and pointed up the beach to the minibuses.
"Now, take your toys with you and get off my beach."
Her father's face was redder than Jenny had ever seen it.
"We just want to make a peaceful protest," said the woman with the pram.
Her father rounded on her.
"Trying to set my beach on fire is hardly a peaceful protest, missus."
He stabbed a finger at the fuel can. A burly man lunged forward and pulled the shovel out of the sand, but her father grabbed the top of the handle and held it tight. A skinny man with a stick jumped on her father's back, and he began to lose his balance. Jenny ran forward. She picked up a floppy piece of kelp and lashed out at the skinny man's back. Lord sank his teeth into the burly man's leg. He screamed and dropped his spade. Hands grabbed her and pulled her back. She tried to call out, but the woman's hand covered her mouth. The smell of cigarettes from her long fingers made Jenny gag as he pressed against her lips. She heard her father roar in anger. He was fighting the men who held him. Lord was barking and snarling. There was a loud bang, and Jenny felt a flash of heat on her face. She fell to the ground.
"Dad!"
she yelled again. Through the tangle of legs and arms, Jenny saw the woven shape of the windmill ignite. The sea breeze strengthened, and black, acrid smoke soon wafted up towards them. Jenny began to cough. A man caught hold of her and dragged her back from the flames.
"Let her go, Belfield."
Her father's voice sounded strange. Jenny couldn't stop coughing. Her father broke free of the group who were holding him and pushed Belfield and the woman to the ground. He pulled Jenny away from the strangers. Belfield spun round and stood up to face them.
"Hamish,
you should know better, Belfield," gasped her father. "These people you brought onto my land don't even live here."
"You're the last one," said Belfield. "If you cave in to Murdoch, give him consent to build, then the whole coastline will be ruined."
"We've had enough," shrieked the woman.
Thin and wiry with tangled grey hair, she looked like one of the witches from Macbeth. Her voice was very posh, but it dripped with resentment.
"This is what we'll do if you put your turbines here."
She pointed to the wicker windmill. It crackled and sparkled in the background. Her father's hands were dripping with sweat.
"Get off my land," he panted.
"We'll go," said Belfield. "And for the record, it didn't have to be like this."
"Like what?"
said her father, his big frame silhouetted by the blazing arms of the windmill. Flecks of black ash caught the wind and spiralled up into the darkening sky behind him. "You've played this all wrong, Belfield. I didn't really have much of a choice, but you and your cronies have just made up my mind." The woman's face softened. "You can't spoil this place. I can do whatever I want, missus. And I'll tell you this. If I have to stand guard every day here to make sure you keep off my land, I will. You're a crazy, deluded bunch of thugs who have no respect for my land or..." He paused, his brow dripping with moisture. "Or my daughter." And her father stopped mid-sentence and clutched his chest. His lips still struggled to find the words, but his face was a picture of pain. "Dad!" Jenny gasped. Slowly, her father crumpled onto his knees and dropped a shovel. He groaned and slumped forward. As the people edged back, Jenny ran forwards. Lord was already licking her father's face. "Someone!" Jenny felt dizzy. "Someone, go and get help!" A man with long hair produced a mobile and dialed. He held it up to the sky and then stared manically at the screen. "There's no signal!" Belfield rushed over to Jenny. He took her father's hand. "Hamish!" Jenny began to cry. Look at what you've done!" She pushed Belfield away from her father. "Get back!" The strangers were beginning to melt away. Her eyes were blurred. She heard a minibus start up. She cupped her father's head in her lap. "Dad, they're going to get help." Belfield hovered at the tide line. He stood amongst a tangle of seaweed and crab claws. The remains of a seagull's wing fluttered against his big boots. "What you're doing is against God's will, Hamish MacLeod." "Shut up!" yelled Jenny. She felt her strength begin to ebb away. Her father's eyes were closing. "Shut up and get help before it's too late." Belfield wavered for a long moment and then set off in the direction of the minibuses. Jenny mopped her father's brow with her golden hair. He was cold, his eyes closed tight. "Dad," she whispered. Her body shook and her tears dripped onto her father's cheek. A few feet away, the pyre crackled. She could feel its heat in her wet face. Oshwish Bay was empty. Jenny was alone with Lord and her father, the burning windmill slowly disintegrating behind her. Oblivious, the lumbering white gannets continued to glide and then dive into the blue water of the bay. Only Lord seemed to share her grief. He nuzzled into her father's big tweed coat and whined.